It's all about staying positive. It's all about your attitude, regardless of what you're going through. It's all about your perspective and keeping the positive thoughts, feelings moving forward.
Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Jared Easley. I'm your host. And of course, joining us today is Miss Christine. Miss Christine, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm behaving, and you sound like you just woke up. So a long night.
I work till 6 a.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So this is kind of early on my night off, but you know, it's very rolling.
very gracious of you to decide, okay, I'll wake up early for a podcast.
Yeah, and the first thing I saw was a reminder of my stolen Allen Iverson jersey. I wonder who did that.
I tweeted that. But anyway, it's not about us. It's about our guest today. And our guest today is Chloe Cohen. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 1998 at age 20. She was lost in a sea of uncertainty about her future. She learned how to adapt and continue to push forward through the struggles. And in 2005, she started a support group for younger people with MS and is an ambassador with the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Her study shows the hope, strength, and courage it takes to live with chronic illness and live a fulfilling life. And that's it, Chloe. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're pleased that you can be on the podcast. And that being said, Christine's going to kick it off with a random question just to get it going.
All right.
Thanks, Chloe, for joining us.
My name.
Hey, first of all, how did the two of you know? How do y'all know each other? Let's start there.
Christine?
I know her through people from Blab and other people via Blab and Google Hangouts.
She never used Blab,
but through people I know that use Blab and Google Hangouts a long time ago, we met through like mutual friends that we knew.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So it's been like years that I've known her. Yeah.
And we've gotten to hang out in 3D and party.
Girl, oh yeah.
Hang out, real life. Pretty amazing.
Okay, so Chloe, what is the best concert that you've ever been to?
Ooh. Well, it's okay. This is a tricky question because are we talking about like production? Are we talking about the actual music production or the show production? I mean, I could say best concert I ever saw when I was younger in 1990-91. I got to see Garth Brooks live in the Dallas Stadium and they did a whole like it was on film. Oh, that was an amazing production. But then I got to see Justin Timberlake and Christina Aguilera in 2004, 2005, something like that. That was mind-blowing production.
Good. I don't think Christine would have guessed that you would have said Garth Brooks.
I know. I would like, but seriously, like I don't listen to country music. I'm more of everything else but country. But
yeah, I know she loves Justin Timberlake and then I thought maybe Yo-Yo Ma, but I didn't know if you considered that a concert or
like your best concert. Are we talking about like
it can be anything. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, Yo-Yo Ma, I got to meet him, so that was pretty special. But I don't know if I want to get into that right now.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe we chat about that in a little bit. Let's just finish this sentence. Yeah. Chloe, if you ever visit Portland, blank. Finish this sentence. If you ever visit Portland,
get out of the city.
If you ever visit Portland, don't visit.
Yeah.
I mean, art, music, people, I don't know, everything.
Donuts?
Nah. No? You know, that's just a big thing.
Okay.
We do have good donuts, so. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
Okay, so we have another finish the sentence. The best way to keep Sir Roscoe Pico happy is to blank.
Give him treats. Feed him.
Not everyone's going to know who Sir Roscoe Pico is. So why don't you enlighten us?
Sir Roscoe Pico is my almost 15-year-old pug who's just a big ball of meat. He just looks like a big meatloaf, you know? Or an old Asian man as he's gotten older and his face gotten whiter. He looks like an old Asian man. But he's my buddy.
Awesome.
Yes. Roscoe.
And in the pictures you have on your social channels, he looks very happy. So
He's adorable.
Well, no, see, that's my husky. I have a Siberian husky named Hatchet.
Oh, Hatchet.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm confused.
Sir Roscoe is my old pug. Okay. Hatchet is the, he's my service dog, actually.
Cool.
He's retired now, but was.
Fair enough.
Okay, so I was reading that you're originally from St. Louis, but now you're on the West Coast. So I'm curious, how'd you end up out in Portland?
Well, first of all, growing up in St. Louis was awesome. I loved it. But there was definitely, I needed, you know, graduate high school. Your dream is to leave your parents' home. So I'm like, I'm moving to Colorado. And was out there for maybe about 6 months, my first freshman year in college in 96. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I kind of started having symptoms and I was really going mentally crazy. And so I came home back to St. Louis and I stayed there for 2 years. But fortunately, in that first, I think I was there for like a year before I was diagnosed. And I was so lucky to live there or to be home with help around me. But then it was like, okay, I still want to be this independent adult that I thought I was going to be. So I didn't know where to go. I moved back to Colorado because I could get into that college. And I stayed there for a year. I was a small town. I'm not a small town person as much as I thought I was. But I didn't want to go back to St. Louis. My friend lived in Portland. I had visited him a couple times. I was like, Portland seems pretty cool. Mind you, this is like 20, how long have I been in Portland? 20 years. So this was like 22 years ago that wow. I was like, yes. So eventually, yeah, I moved to Portland just because I had the security of my friend who, one of my best friends from high school who could help me and help take care of me. So it was like, it wasn't my parents, but it was like a really good friend. And that was a beautiful thing. And I haven't left.
Christine.
Yes. I'm here. I'm still half waking up. Okay. Now, Chloe, you have a book. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to become a writer and author.
Well, I don't think that most people have the type of life-changing experience I had so young. And I definitely know that especially 22 years ago, I didn't know a soul that was young going through this. More or less, I knew one man who was my parents' friend who was like in his 40s, had a family, had a career, all that. But I felt very alone in the beginning, and that's what inspired me to start the support group. And I saw the need for the togetherness, the need for mutual understanding. You know, you can tell one person this is what you're dealing with, but if you've never lived that experience, it's much more difficult to really feel for it. So I really felt like, and I had been journaling all my life. So I really felt like with a compilation of all these journal entries, as well as other writing, I could really get across the point of like, don't take things for granted. Appreciate your life. Appreciate all the things you can do because you never know. And you don't know what you have until you lose it. And for me, I lost so much so young that I was very, I guess you could say, wise at a young age because I felt like I was living in my 70s. You know, when you can't walk, can't see, tired all the time. I guess that's kind of like being a senior, but not really. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't a senior. I was 20. So I really felt like it was my duty to let other people know that they're not alone in their struggle. And so,
and that's like, is that how you got the title Stronger Together?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, because without all of these people in my life who have been supporting me, the doctors, the nurses, my trainer, you know, I don't think that I would have gotten to where I was if I didn't have that community of people. And like, I don't know if you've ever been to any kind of MS event, like the MS walk or bike or anything, but what you see is the strength of these people and how much stronger they are even together. So yeah, that's why I called it that. It started like, now I can't remember what I titled. Something about making lemonade out of lemons. That was like the initial title. And then I realized, Jesus, everybody with a struggle has written titled something that. So yeah. Eventually I got to that. But yeah, that's the story.
I like that title, Stronger Together. When you're first diagnosed with MS, you kind of alluded to this, but I want to touch on it again. So how did you first handle getting that diagnosis?
Well, first of all, my diagnosis was kind of unusual. Because what happened to me, I actually had come to Portland to visit my buddy who lived here. This is before I lived here. And I hit my head really hard on a car door. And I was going to the airport to get on a plane to go back to St. Louis. By the time I was sitting on that plane, my left side was shaking. Now, being a 20-year-old naive young adult, I was just like, eh, it'll go away. It's like a cold. So I just sat on my hand. But then it just kept getting worse. And I was in denial, as most people are when stuff happens. But then more symptoms happened where I had vertigo, which is where you everything's on a tilt, basically. And I was fortunate that my roommate at the time was a nurse in the ER. And she was like, Chloe, I don't know what's going on with you right now, but it's not right. And she basically called me out to my mother. And at that point, tests began. And I think for me, it was really just, there has to be a reason why this is happening. And so that's really all I wanted was an explanation. And so it took about a month before I got the actual diagnosis. It was either a brain tumor or MS. So I was pretty, even though I didn't know what MS meant, I knew it meant I wasn't going to die. So that was great. I guess that's an upside to that, but
yeah, it's pretty true. Okay. So you recently posted on Facebook that you wish like about 20 years ago that you had a t-shirt that said, I'm not drunk, backside, I have MS. And, you know, awareness is very important over the years, but what was it like back then when you were first diagnosed?
Understand that this was over 20 years ago, and the understanding of MS was very minimal, especially for younger. You know, it was always thought to be like an older person's disease. So, and you know, when I walked, I looked drunk all the time because your coordination and balance is off. Mine was. And so I got kicked out of bars before I even had a drink. And when you're in your early 20s and that happens, it's kind of brutal. You're like, I'm just trying to be normal and you won't allow me.
Wow.
Mind you, there was a time where I got it booted out because I had only had one beer, but that intensified the lack of balance.
Oh, so man.
I look like I'm freaking wasted. But because of that one beer, it gave me a little liquid courage to give a mouthful to the server about MS. And so as I got older, I used those situations for education because if you don't know, yeah, she looks like she's high or on meth or I don't even know. But like
diabetics get that too. Like, and they actually get that smell in their breath. So educating people about MS
and I think, you know, that really became my main thing, you know? You know, but you got to understand that it took a good 5 years before you get over, at least 5 years before you're not angry anymore. Or you're still angry. I take that back. Before, you know, it takes a really long time to accept the fact that this is chronic. This is never going to go away. And you've got to learn how to push forward through all that. So that's kind of why I wrote the book, kind of to help maybe give at least one person a little bit of advice and ways to deal with all of it.
And one drink does not mean that you're a cheap date. Is that correct?
Well, that's a different discussion.
Oh my God.
No.
Okay.
I'm not as cheap as, like, honestly, because of the medication I was on for so many years, my tolerance was super low with the alcohol. So I was definitely a cheap date. But over the years, definitely knowing Christine for so long, my
yeah. It's funny how Christine inspires people in that way.
Your tolerance has improved so much. I'm so Thanks, proud of you.
Oh.
Make me proud.
Oh. Wow. Okay. You mentioned the book. Of course, Stronger Together is the name of the book. And parts of your book include some of your journal entries. So I was wondering, what role did journaling play in the management of your diagnosis?
Well, honestly, I had been journaling since I was a kid, so it wasn't something new. But it was definitely very important to be able to just get stuff out of your head, put it on a paper, even if, you know, you think it's just mumbling. But I never thought that those would come. I always thought that my book that I was going to write would happen after I died, you know, like somebody's like, oh, look at this amazing woman's life and all these journal entries. Let's make a movie. No. So I wrote a book, and, you know, I don't know. It is weird to put yourself out there like that. But at the same time, if I can help, like, at least one person.
And you said journaling, you did written and you did video journaling as well, didn't you?
Not really. I mean, if you want to call those videos journal entries, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I got a follow-up question real quick, Chloe. So, and what is some of the feedback that you've gotten from the book?
I know it's inspired a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the goal, because I didn't get here by just sitting and talking about it. I worked my butt off, and to show the struggles and the hardships that you have to break through all these walls to get to the other side. And it's not that easy. But that's why I wanted to write this book, so I could really show how far I've come, how hard I pushed to get there, and some tools that got me there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, what were some of your initial wins, like when you started to fight back on MS?
Some of my initial wins?
Yeah. Like
I will say this. One of the most amazing experiences I had, now there's a bunch coming through, but I'm thinking about, I don't know what year that was, 2004 maybe? I mean, relatively new into the MS game, but I gave a speech for the National MS Society in Fort Worth, Dallas, because my grandmother had raised a lot of money for MS, so I came to speak at this thing, and I gave this speech. I kind of blew myself away, because I'm in Texas.
Texas?
With all these, like, white Republican Jews. And I'm trying to get them.
Caucasian Jews. Okay.
I'm trying to get them to see another perspective. And it was amazing, because I got so many people in that room who never, ever considered anything that I had talked about, you know, like, what would you do if you couldn't do A, B, or C, you know? And I got a standing ovation, and I've never felt so overjoyed and, like, humbled about, wow, these people really heard me, you know? That was amazing. But then another one was going to Washington, D.C., and talking to all the people on the Hill about making changes, funding for medicines, because the medicines for MS are outrageously expensive. And so trying to dedicate more funds to the medication, to the people, I don't know, that felt pretty good too.
Good for you. I'm sure you get this question a lot, but it's very likely someone's listening to the show. Maybe they've received a bad diagnosis. They're feeling alone. And what would you say to them?
It sucks. I mean, I'm not going to deny that it is not easy. But by being able to, like, because of people like me putting your story out there, you can find out you're not alone. And to find out that there's other people out there who can understand your situation, who's been there, maybe not completely, but part of it. I mean, it's not easy, and you're not alone. I think that's the biggest piece, is, like, you're not alone. There's almost a million of us out there. You know, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, they changed the whole numbers. It used to be 500,000 people in the census had MS. Then they bumped it up over 500,000 people. Wow. So clearly, because it's so invisible, so many symptoms are so invisible, and so it makes really difficult to diagnose. Not so much now. It used to be. Now people are much more aware than they were. So I think it's just all about just knowing you aren't alone, trying to connect with others who can relate. And that's why I started with the support group. So, yeah.
I feel like we covered my next question already, but just want to reiterate, what have you learned from the process of raising awareness and helping others, or maybe a key point that you'd give somebody else if they were trying to raise awareness for MS or any other cause?
I think it's a lot about communication. I think it's a lot about putting your voice out there, telling people they're not alone. And I think I definitely know the MS Society does an amazing job of promoting everything that they do and getting other people involved. I don't know.
Chloe, you're obviously an inspiration to some folks, and rightfully so. And I'm curious, who is doing something that interests you?
Who is doing something? I don't know.
We know that Christine has inspired you.
What?
We know that Christine has inspired you in certain ways, but I'm curious if there's anyone out. Obviously Christine, but who else?
Okay, I have a guy. His name is Chris Ramsey. He is also a fellow MS activist and patient, client, whatever you want to call him. He's like an Iron Man. Hmm. And the way he trains and what he does blows me away. Because I know how much physical strength it takes just to do simple things. And this guy's like, he has always been an inspiration of just keep pushing, keep trying. There's quite a few people in my little Portland MS community that are so strong, so inspirational. And I don't know, but the MS Society did a campaign, I think that was 2017, called This is MS. I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
And it featured, I think, about like 15 MSers from around the country. And they did photo shoots. They did little documentaries on each one of us. And it's pretty powerful because you can see the strength and determination that each one of these individuals carries, as well as the struggles that they go through. So I thought it was a brilliant campaign, and I was honored to be in it. In fact, I do believe at one point it was up in Times Square. My picture didn't make it in Times Square, but like my buddies did. Another inspiration, my buddy Jim, who does a whole podcast on MS. It's called How You Really Doing? And he's interviewed a ton of people with MS about their situation. It was funny because, you know, with MS, you can have cognitive issues, and he often has these. So we had done this interview twice. The first one had like audio issues or something. Then we did it again, and he was just having a really off day. And so he's like, I can't use it. We're going to have to do it again. And with the nature of the beast, the nature of MS, the ebbs and flows of how you feel day to day is different. And it just took really long time, but we finally did ours. And another way of spreading the word, you know, that's what I like seeing, these inspirational people who are getting the word out, letting others know about it. I don't know.
Okay. So Chloe, what's the best ways for our listeners to connect with you and also to purchase your book?
Oh, well, my book can be, well, the book actual paper copy isn't out yet. It's supposed to be out in June. But due to this coronavirus,
I
don't know if it's actually coming out in June. You know, everything's kind of iffy right now. But the audiobook is out as well as the Kindle version. So you can go to Amazon.com. You can either search my name or the book title, Stronger Together. And I think it's My MS Story is the... But yeah, so once the paper book is out, I'm sure there'll be another link. But I think you can pre-order it on Amazon. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think you can.
Yes.
Do you prefer people to connect with you on Facebook or Twitter or does it matter? Instagram?
I'm like a huge social media person. I am a Facebook junkie, but yeah, I guess on Facebook. But it's hard because you're like, people friend you and you're like, how do you know me?
So maybe if they message you on Facebook, I need to
start a whole nother page. Just
Maybe start one for your book. Yeah.
Or how about this? Do you have a public email address where if somebody wants to send you a question or follow up?
No.
Fair enough. Okay.
Really, honestly, I wrote this book just to get it out of my head, you know, and to help other people. But I never thought about like, all of the money that I'm making off this book is going back to the MS Society, because I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this strictly for education and in a selfish way, just to let my story out there. So
I don't think that's selfish. I think you're doing the right
thing. That's awesome.
Thank you.
We always like to close out, Chloe, with final thoughts. Do you have any final thoughts?
Oh, gosh. It's all about staying positive. It's all about your attitude, regardless of what you're going through. It's all about your perspective and keeping the positive thoughts, feelings moving forward. Yeah. And communication. It's also about talking to people about if you're down, tell someone. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you can find someone that actually can connect with you about it. And that is tricky to do. But luckily these days we got this beautiful thing called the internet. And
yes,
we can find people really easily. I'm just saying, like 20 years ago, I was like, why don't they have like a support group online for like Facebook wasn't there yet. So there's no, and then Facebook happened and all of that stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. And you've done a great job of building your own community and creating opportunities for people to share their stories and have that feeling of camaraderie and not being alone. Christine and I really appreciate you taking time to talk with us, and we hope that people will.
And thank you for being my first interview.
Oh, I'm glad I can be your first, Christine.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, thanks, guys. It's so special to me that I can do this. Thank you for letting me do it.
Absolutely. We wish you the absolute best and look forward to possibly hanging out in Portland and having a beverage sometime. Only one, of course.
That'd be awesome.
Just one.
Yeah, right.
just one for Chloe, maybe? Okay, we'll see.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.